And all of them point to the same truth. And the truth is that we need to rejoice in our Creator God. Don't be afraid when someone brings up dinosaurs. In fact, if they bring up dinosaurs, jump on it and witness to them and say, I'd like to tell you about dinosaurs. They're mentioned in the Bible. They're created by God. And they, as well as the creatures present and the creatures in the future, all point to our infinite Creator God. We need to rejoice in our Creator God. First of all, God created land that flourished with plant growth. Look at verse 9, and this is what it says in Genesis 1 in verse 9. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth. And he gathered the waters and called them seas. And God saw it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them, on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation. Now that's one of the understatements of the Bible. The earth really brought forth vegetation. In fact, they have found coal seams that are so thick that it had to be literally tens of thousands of feet of vegetation matter that was squashed into that coal seam. There is not enough plant life right now on the earth to make coal like we know it. That's because in this third day of creation, from verse 9 through 13, God caused the plant kingdom to have an incredible reflection of His power. Do you know how powerful the plant kingdom is? Now, we're only seeing it from afar after all the ravages of the fall and after the destruction of the global flood of Noah's time. But did you know that one sunflower seed, you know, the ones that you get in a little box that are salted and baked and you act like a parrot and you break them apart and you get that kernel out and you eat it. You know, one sunflower seed, before it's baked, if it's planted, can produce 4,000 seeds in the first harvest. One seed reproduces to 4,000. Now, that's not very staggering. How about this? One kernel of corn, if you didn't pop it or you didn't boil it to eat it as sweet corn, one kernel of corn, if planted, and if all of the fruit that that one kernel produced were collected and were replanted a second year, and then if everything that that second year's crop produced from only one kernel the year before were planted the third year, there would be enough corn to plant every available acre in the United States of America. You say, that's impossible. That's how powerful the plant kingdom is. It is incredibly prolific. In fact, the scriptures tell us that God said that the plant kingdoms would flourish. And if you look at this, the scriptures tell us that it did. The scientists have been excavating, and I just pulled out of some books some things, like what kind of plants would the animals that, like these, have been eating in the ancient world. Do you know what kind of plants they were eating? They were eating, and try and listen to these names. This is the incredible plant life that fed dinosaurs that weighed 160,000 pounds. Oak trees. Willow trees. Aren't those incredible dinosaur names? Magnolia trees. Sassafras trees. Palm trees. Flowering bushes. Do you know what dinosaurs ate? They ate the same things that grow here. Why? Because we live in the same world. The only thing that's happened is half of all the animal life has become extinct. Because when the flood occurred, these animals couldn't operate without the hyperbaric vapor canopy cloud cover that the earth had prior to the flood. It got too cold. Plants didn't grow as big, and they died off. How many plants were growing? Well, in Lincoln County, Wyoming, they have found almost perfect specimens of fish, turtles, insects, and mammals. But these have been interlaid between incredible sized leaves. There are huge palm leaves that are 8 feet long and 4 feet wide. A palm leaf. That's the size of a sheet of plywood. And that was one leaf on a palm tree. Did you know palm tree leaves don't get that big anymore? But God said in Genesis chapter 1, He says, earth, bring forth vegetation. And the earth brought forth vegetation. Even more significantly than these giant leaves is the fact that trillions of tons of vegetation, much of it perfectly preserved, even to the leaves and flowers, has been buried in Antarctica. Did you know nothing grows in Antarctica today? Nothing, plant life. It's too cold. But that That continent is covered with trillions of tons of crushed vegetation, and when the scientists excavate, they find just layer after layer of flowers and leaves all made into coal. God says, I'm going to make the land produce. Scientists have also found tropical forests and coal deposits, not only in Antarctica, but they found them everywhere else. Every part of the world, above the Arctic Circle and new Siberian islands today, where only 1-inch high willows will grow, they have found these incredible flowering plume plants, as I mentioned, that are 90 feet high. In these frigid zones, many trees, some are fossilized, some are quick frozen, have been found with rings that symbolize or show that they had rapid and warm temperature growth. The evolutionists would say, how did they get here? And they do have some fanciful ideas. They say that tectonic plate movements pushed them up there. Can you imagine that? You know what we say? They grew there prior to the flood because the whole earth was a lush, verdant garden. When the Creator, prior to the flood, said that I would create a land in Genesis 1, verses 9 through 13, that flourished with plant growth,